Yeah, so tell me, how did the calls go?
Well, these are all the co-op leads in Memphis there.
Yep.
And I made, what, 42 calls, and only I got a hold of two people. One person, the owner was passed away, and nobody in the family knew anything about the property. It's like, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. It seemed like a good property, too. It was a 4-2, 1,500 square feet. It's like, wow.
Who does Public Records say is the owner?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get that far. I didn't go back to check that.
Okay,
so this was just all off what I was sent off the co-op leads. And so my question was on that, because a lot of these are all bad numbers. Do I need to have my VA go back through these things?
No.
Is that the way this works?
Put them in a select the status that says they need to re-skip trace if they're not
okay,
good.
Okay, I was just putting them as all bad numbers.
Okay.
Is what I did. Okay.
Yep. If I need to get you some more, that's fine. We'll ship some over. They shouldn't be all, you know, sometimes though that's the name of the game. That's why Rob goes back through and has his VA do White Pages Premium if the numbers are bad. But let me tee up some more for you. Shoot me a quick email reminder. I should be able to remember, but just in case.
Okay. I'll do that.
We'll get some more lined up. Beautiful.
Okay. I had the one gal in Cleveland that had two properties.
Yeah.
Well, the husband decided to sell it to his brother, both of them, who I guess is in construction and wants to do them himself. So lost out on those.
That's okay.
There are
more out there.
So,
what are you?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you have in Cleveland? How many leads and how many skip trace? How many total?
I have 360 leads, and I have them just about all skip trace, but I have like 150 bad numbers that I got to get re-skip traced.
Right. Okay.
So, but, you know, I'm still making the calls, but I'll have a better week next week as far as, you know, having better time to make calls.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Yeah, you've been busy with work here? Lately?
Yeah, I'm working. Don't really go into detail, but my mother-in-law isn't doing well, and so wife and I take care of her a lot. Well, she's 83, you know, she's had a good life, you know.
We take care of
her a lot, so anyway.
Gotcha.
So I guess it sounds like I'm letting her on the call.
Yeah, I haven't heard any more dings.
Yeah, I haven't either. I got a question for you, though. You know, when I do get one for contract, you know, for the $10, how do I get that sent to these people?
You could PayPal it over. I like to do a check. That's Rob typically sends a check because then there's a copy of it.
Okay.
That's typically how he does it.
All right.
Because you don't need to get, you don't, that check doesn't need to go to a title company.
Right. Just,
you know, giving it to them for good faith. So, yep.
Yeah.
That's how he usually does it. Then there's paper trail.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And then on Memphis, then, does Rob have people there that say I need to send somebody to go look at the place?
For sure.
Can I get a hold of somebody? Okay. All right. So if I need it, I'll just get a hold of you.
You got it. He and Brad will likely be the buyers. They're not always.
Right.
Likely.
Right.
You know, they're both buying there pretty aggressive. Actually, Brad's selling all of his rentals in Colorado currently. He's rehabbing. I think he has 7 rehabs going right now, and he's going to replace all the money, and mostly in Memphis, some of it in San Antonio. So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're buying up whatever they can find down there. For the most part. So
yeah.
If not, they have a buyer's list, and, you know, we'll just plug into them. But
right.
Yeah, they're looking to take them down. They have got they've got a strong list of turnkey rental buyers there too. It's pretty common in Memphis. Pretty common model to fix it up and sell it turnkey. It's a great market for that. So
okay,
yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's where I'm,
yeah,
that's
good,
where I'm
yeah,
at.
Yeah, good stuff. Stay on the phone and then shoot me a reminder email quick. I'll get some more over there.
Okay. Will do.
Mike Riley.
And then I heard a couple more chimes. Who's with us?
Yeah.
Mike Riley.
Hey, Mike. How'd that go from on Monday? Did you make some progress?
Yeah, making progress. I got in and got registered okay, and I'm doing the work trying to get the numbers so I can plug them into the sheet.
Beautiful. Any questions that we can answer for you today, or just going to chime in and listen?
Well, I'm just going to listen, I think. I do have one question. As I've been through the entire initial video one several times, but
yep.
I keep getting twisted around the sequence. I march down the road using populations of a million, and then we kind of change step and go in looking for markets in cheap cities and cheap states. And frankly,
yep.
It got me tied up around the axle a little bit. A lot of places there aren't a million, you know, there aren't a million people. So I don't know what we're worried about the, you know, the price of real estate there for. But
here's the thing on that. A million's kind of the rule of thumb. A lot of times, if you go outside of the city and grab the MSA, which is the statistical area.
Sure.
Even some of the cities that aren't in a million will get there. If you're north of 700,000 people, you should be fine. You know, it's not like it's a hard line drawn in the sand. Don't get too caught up around it. All Rob is saying is, when you pick a market and you want to go from no deals in that market to deals and get in the middle of deals, obviously the number of people that live there play into it, because the more people, the more property. The more stuff to look at. That's all. We're just playing the percentages to some extent. So he likes to be in MSAs that are a million or larger. Some people, you know, in the group here have chosen, you know, places that are 800,000-900,000, and that's big enough. So don't get hung up on it. Yep.
All right. I thought the 1 million number was the floor, and that's what confused me because a lot of the other places.
It typically is,
Like
I said, it's not a hard line in the sand.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a big help. Thanks a lot, Mike.
You got it. Yeah, who else is with us? I heard a bunch more dings. Hal?
Yeah.
What's happening since Monday?
Let's see. Area and the zip codes, and of the six zip codes, two of them I was already aware of that were hot areas.
You found a couple new ones though?
Yeah, I found a couple new ones, and it confused me a little bit because we're looking at what's for sale on the MLS, basically. Where I've been mostly looking at deals that are off market, but after
here's
I looked at it for a while, then it made sense.
Here's the list that you can buy that'll show you a couple different ways to get some data points that are helpful. Listings is one. You can go to, you know, go Section 8 and have a VA grab 100 deals off that, or, you know, assuming there are 100 or more, and you can plot those. That's helpful to know. The list that's, you know, I'd call it the most helpful, the most accurate, is to use List Source. Just like you did in step one, grab the absentee owners. In step one, you're just using the number. You don't actually purchase the list, but to actually buy it and own that list and then upload it to Batch Geo to see all of the investor transactions over the last 12 months last 6 months. Yeah, that's a map that, and I've talked about it on here a couple weeks ago, but that's a map that Rob and Brad, Brad's his partner on the real estate side, they go to that map all the time.
Really?
First of all, it'll show you where the activity is. Second thing is when you have a deal under contract, you can go right there, look up owners of record, you know, have your skip tracer find numbers and call them. They have got a... You know, I've got a property in the same neighborhood where you just bought in the last 6 months. So, you know, they're always looking at it. And what they do in ListSource, and I'd be happy to walk you through this outside office hours here, but they add a couple things to that list before they buy it, like square footage, bedrooms, bathrooms, sale date, sale price, and you can build out all the data you want. And then what's cool is you upload that to Batch Geo, and then when you hover over one of the little pins, it puts on the map, all that data that you bought pops up. So you can see address, purchase date, purchase price, square footage, beds, baths. And so you can go into an area and say, hey, all the 3-1s in this neighborhood in the last year have sold for X amount. So, that you know, they also use it to make offers because, you know the exact investor price is what they've paid over the period of time that you bought the list for. So,
slick. That would be slick.
Yep. It's really intelligent data to have your hands on. And just, you know, people don't do it. They don't even know. They just say, hey, is this a deal? Do people buy here? Yeah, let's find out. You know, throw it against the wall and see if it sticks. Where this way, obviously you can pinpoint, you know, don't just launch a neighborhood and guess.
Yeah.
Launch a neighborhood with some data, tell your bird dogs exactly where to go, exactly where to generate leads, and then you can go to the exact buyers who already own in that zip code or that area. So
that's just
a better way to do it. That's there's a shotgun approach, and then there's sniper fire, and that's sniper fire doing it that way, right?
Okay. Yeah.
A lot more accurate, so. Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to do that in the next few days, maybe the first part of the week, have you walk me through it. Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
I think there may be a video on it, so
okay.
I can't remember. We put so many videos in the coaching center, I don't remember. If there's not, though, I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
And if there isn't, also, I can shoot a video on it and upload it, and that way everybody can look at it. I think there might be one, though. I'll double-check and then let you know.
Okay. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Who else is with us?
Aaron Rose here.
Aaron Rose. You have a buyer for that deal yet?
No, not yet. I just got my Craigslist ad up today.
Okay.
I thought I had. I've got one fellow that's one of my roofing customers down the street. He went to talk to a builder to get some pricing and to see, you know, if he'd be interested, because he said he had the money. He came back to me saying the builder was already booked out for like 43 builds this year. So he said he'd be, he said he's more than happy to try to help me with whatever information he can get me. He's not sure he wants to invest, but I just wrote him back asking, you know, would this guy be interested in building it next year? Because this could be a rental in the meantime. You know, and then also was still asking him for, you know, hey, well, did you get the numbers on the pricing? Waiting on him to get back with me on that. And then the fellow that I had talked to about hiring as a sales guy, the one more recently this week, he and I were supposed to meet this morning, and he's actually already an active wholesaler.
Woody. Okay.
We had a great conversation the other day.
Yeah.
He had come back to me saying he had a developer that he said that he thought was very interested in it. So we were going to talk about that today, but apparently he had a best friend, had a family issue, so we're rescheduled for tomorrow. So
chatting tomorrow? Cool.
Yeah, no, we're going to meet. Yeah, we're meeting up to go over, you know, getting together on a sales team kind of basis, you know, so, and looking at Freedom Soft at the same time.
Find at least 10 people to talk to about that thing a day.
Yeah,
at least it's just a matter of getting on the phone around it. You know, 20 would be better. But
did
you get signs out in the neighborhood?
Not yet, but that's on the schedule for like tomorrow.
All right, so, big day tomorrow.
Yeah, big day tomorrow for me.
Make it happen.
Yeah, I will. That's basically where I'm at. Just trying to hire salespeople and trying to move this deal. Keep my brain from falling out of my ears.
Keep your what?
Everything else. Keep my brain from falling out of my ears, you know, with all the rest of this crap going on.
Right. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, carve out some dedicated time.
Well, you just got to have the conversations. Obviously, people are out there buying. So, yep.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Carving
but
out the time
I told you
tomorrow.
On Monday that I wanted it under contract by today, so I'm going to push till third till Monday. Now, make it happen.
All right, brother.
These weeks will go by fast. Just
I
the
know.
Way life moves. So.
Yeah. Yep. Tomorrow I'll have dedicated put it, spend a few hours on it dedicated for sure tomorrow.
Yeah, it sounds good.
All right. That's where I'm at.
Cool. Who else? Anybody else moving deals? Anything new
Olivia
under contract?
Here.
Who's this?
Olivia.
Olivia.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Hey, so I went back and to update for my that contract I have for the package of three. I updated.
Yeah.
I went back and called everybody, and a lot of people hadn't got the email. And I got a lot of follow-up from that, too, and a lot more.
Yep.
So it's great, and I'll call again. I didn't get everybody called, probably about 25 people or so.
Yep.
And then, you know, I had my Craigslist ad up. No one responded to it. I've never had that happen in my life with a Craigslist ad.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
did you repost it? And then in addition to email, use FreedomSoft to send out a text. Because email,
okay.
Email has deliverability challenges, right?
Yes.
And emails, everybody gets on average, right? We get 150 or something a day. So they easily get lost. But just about every text message gets read. So make sure it's under 160 characters. And actually, when you blast it in FreedomSoft, it'll count for you.
Okay.
Shorten to the point. You know, if you want to give a little teaser about the property, you know, 2-1 for sale, maybe a zip code, maybe a price, you know, first come, first serve, call me ASAP, so, you know, put your name on there, get that out as soon as possible. Because it's like a, it's like a 97%, it's high 90s with text messages that get read. It's outrageous.
You know, I did do a text to everybody, and I gave a teaser, and I only had two responders, and then I called one guy back, and I said, I was just following up on the Wilson properties just to see if you're interested. He says, I'm always interested. You just put the, you just put 2,000 block of Wilson in the price. I don't know anything about it. And I said, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, no worries. Let me send that to you.
Right.
Isn't
so try to word it a little bit different and just say, just say, do you need a deal? I have one for sale. Call me for details. And leave it a little more open-ended and just set up the phone call. Try that and see what happens. It's only a penny and a half to send out each text. So in FreedomSoft. So it's really inexpensive, and it's a really effective way to communicate.
Okay. Okay,
so,
and I'll repost the Craigslist ad.
Yep.
And then, you know, I found out that virtual wholesaling is very popular. I have met someone from... she goes, you work in Kentucky, don't you? I'm from Utah.
How funny.
And
not as popular as you
well,
think.
Now, she goes, and I met another gal from, she goes, I have a fake phone number because I'm working out of Indiana. I said, okay.
Yeah, you'll bump into some. It's still, the majority of investors still just try and figure out their own backyard, and some people happen to live in a place that's good, and some people don't. Yep.
Yeah, okay. I think,
what else?
So I think that's about it. Now, I've had people say, are you going to bring me the buyer? There's no way I can do that unless I have it under contract, correct?
Are you going to bring me the seller says, are you going to bring me the buyer?
Yeah. If you bring me the buyer.
Well, tell me how that gets sent, because you're the buyer and the seller may end up at closing together. So I'll just throw a side note. I'll just throw this out there. We never close at the same time as the seller, ever. And it's not, some people like to do it and like to chit chat. Those of you that know Rob, he's not a chit chatter. He's business. We just close outside. Because sometimes chit chat, 9.9 out of 10 go great, but chit chat can lead to questions and who else knows. What else can open up? So the way we always set it up the buyer and the seller, especially if we're the buyer, we never really meet in person. Or we've had conversations. We maybe got some paperwork signed, but we're not going to the closing with them. So when a seller says, you're going to bring me the buyer, say, yeah, I'm going to bring a buyer, not really to you. We're just going to do it through the paperwork. But right, but that's what
okay.
You say, yeah, that's what I bring to the table. I've got a group of people that are looking to buy, and I'm going to do everything I can to find somebody interested in your deal here. But there's no need to connect the two of them.
Okay.
No need for it.
That's good. That statement's good.
Yep. We just always sign both sides of the transaction. Schedule, like the title gal that I use in town here in Denver, we just meet at the same Starbucks all the time and sign papers there. I'm never going to a closing with the other party.
Okay.
So, yep.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Yep. Who else? Any new contracts, working deals, trying to find buyers?
Hey, Mike, it's Tom.
Hey, Tom.
So the guy who actually owns the house is back in country. He still hasn't signed the contract yet, but I'm hoping he'll do that tonight.
Yep.
Getting nowhere finding buyers yet. Made a bunch of calls. I haven't gotten any interest yet. I'm going to start texting a few people. I haven't done that yet. I got a whole bunch of I found a new place, and I hadn't found it on Craigslist. Under services, you find a lot of stuff. People who put down, I buy ugly houses and stuff. I kept looking under real estate, and you find some, but under services, there's a lot of some wholesalers in there, and there's a bunch of clean out people that clean out houses and stuff. I'm going to call them to see where they're doing business. Where's all the clean outs going on? And I can maybe get some ideas as to where I can do that, and maybe they have some numbers and people for me. I don't know.
Hey, they would be some great get to know clean out folks. I mean, they're going in and basically just hauling out junk, but either they're being hired by an investor to come help, or they're on the other end of it and a homeowner's calling them. But that could be a great little connection. I mean, it's no different.
Yeah.
Like if you're working probate leads, you want to know probate attorneys, because they're talking to people right when there's a death in the family, obviously, and they call the attorney. And so you just never know who you're gonna branch out and network with. But so do this, Tom. Take lead swiper in FreedomSoft, set up two different campaigns. Pull one of them that's looking for buyers from the real estate section. Pull another one that's looking for buyers from the services section. Because using IFTTT, you can just give it a separate URL to search, and that way you'll have both areas covered automatically. You won't have to go look; it'll just pull them in.
All right, wait. Okay, you lost me. You lost me with go to Lead Swiper. I say I go to Lead Swiper, and then what do I do?
We can go through it outside of here.
Set up
two lead swiper campaigns, one to pull buyers from the real estate section and one to pull buyers from the services section.
Okay.
It's because you'll give a different URL to the IFTTT app. Have you set up lead swiper campaigns before?
No.
Well, I'm speaking foreign language to you then. So
yeah,
in FreedomSoft, go see how that gets set up. And then it'll make sense.
Okay.
So, yep. But yeah, it'll.
Right.
So you don't have to go look. It'll just pull them automatically.
Pull what automatically?
Buyers. Go watch the video
I'll watch the video.
Lead Swiper, and it'll make sense. Yep.
All right. Cool. All right.
It'll make sense. Yeah, get that thing signed, and then you've got you're doing some preliminary work now, but you get that thing signed, and then you've got a conversation piece to go out to the market with. So, and in the meantime, anything else you've drummed up? This one's been sitting for a little bit, trying to get a signature.
No. Well, I have a guy who's interested in selling two or three properties. He's in California, and it's in an area of town that I don't know much about yet. And he's sounding like he'll sell them really cheap, but they they all have, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, up to $6,000 in back taxes that you have to pay.
Right.
And so I had, you know, there was through this, I found one buyer so far who's, I texted her. She came back to me and said, I'm interested in, you know, properties under 10,000 with 10 to 15,000 of fix up for rentals. I said,
right.
Cool. All right. Maybe these will fit the bill. So what I need to do is go back and to the sellers and try to figure out what's what and get, you know,
absolutely.
Get a little bit.
And then you have addresses on the three. Do you have addresses on the three houses?
I have addresses on two of them. I've only checked one. It's funky though, because the street that it's on, there's no access with cars. It's on a hill. It's in between the hill, and that street's been closed off to cars. So, and there's no alley. So it's like, okay, kind of funky place.
So yeah, how do you drive? You can't drive to your house?
No, you can drive for two houses away and go up this steep hill.
Wow.
So I don't know how that works. But I, now that I saw it on Craigslist, I didn't get back to him and say, dude, what's the deal with this? I mean, how does it work? And they might have an answer.
Take that over to your Bats GeoMap and see what's going on in the area. Did you do that already?
Yeah, and nothing's going on in that area.
No absentee buyers in the area?
No.
Okay.
No. There's, you know, I mean, this town is weird, man. I mean, and what I'm looking at when I went with ListSource, you know, like I was saying, I was finding, you know, absentee owners that were in state, because out of state there weren't hardly any. The activity is way down. So I said, okay, what's the in state? And the areas are totally different than the ones that I, you know, sent bird dogs to. Because, you know, the one I sent bird dogs to were the ones that were for sale. Well, the ones that are for sale and the ones that the absentee owners are buying are completely different places.
Right.
So I'm going.
Yeah, nothing beats the absentee owner list to actually plot that in Batch Geo to see the activity. But, yeah, I mean, it's not any weirder than any other place, I don't think. Some cities really look like a shotgun where there's activity all over the place, but for the most part, there will be little pockets. So
yeah, well, you know, there's some places where, you know, one zip code has 57 things in the last 6 months.
Wow.
You know, whereas this deal that I'm talking about has zero in the last two years. So
well, so that may be the call. If this guy's three houses, hopefully at least maybe one or two of them are in an okay area. This one on the hill sounds a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
But That's where you go to that map and say, hey, not much action here. And here's the thing, though. Price can get people to move. So you've got a gal that has told you, hey, give me a house for 5 to 10. I'll put 5 to 10 in, and I want to look at it. So.
Yeah, she says, she prefers one spot, but she'll go anywhere where the numbers are good. It's like, that's my kind of buyer, okay? So the one that I have hopefully under contract is too rich for her blood. That's what she said, it's too much money. She's looking for, you know, totally beat houses that she can make less beat and then put people in them.
Is this so funny that you would take an investor out of Denver and say, I'll sell you a house in Pittsburgh for 40 grand. And they would say, what kind of beater can you get for 40 grand? No, I'm not interested. It can't even have a roof on it. And then you meet a lady there that's buying, and I don't remember what your price is, but I think it's 30 or 40. And she says, oh, that's too much for my blood.
She goes, oh, that's too much money.
That is a trip.
She wants to be all in for, you know, maybe 40.
That's awesome.
You know,
that cracks me up. It's all a matter of perspective.
That's like my mark.
You know, we start talking about war zone and, oh, you can't buy there and nothing's happening there and don't drive there. And then you talk to somebody else and they're like, it's my favorite spot. That's where I go. That's where I buy. That's where my rentals are. So it just always cracks me up. It's almost impossible for humans to not bring our opinions into a situation like this. And it's just a funny, it's a matter of perspective.
I just need to find more like her, you know.
Oh yeah, they're around. I mean, yeah, they're all over. Keep finding buyers.
Like I just found this. I just found this thing under services, and it's like, I don't know, I never found
it
before.
I'll be honest, I've never even looked in services.
Under services, I got more stuff under services than anywhere else. There's property managers, there's clean out companies, it's like, because I looked under real estate, and you have to wade through a lot of crap that has nothing to do with anything. When you go
they
got junk cars, they got this
swiper.
And that.
Use Lead Swiper.
Yeah.
It'll do that for you. It'll just, if it recognizes keywords, it'll grab the lead for you. So.
Oh, so that's how it works. Keywords.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. All right, cool.
All right, man. Yeah, get that thing under, get that paperwork back.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
Who else is on with us?
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Lee. Hey, can I go?
Are you feeling better yet?
A little bit today. Yeah.
All right.
Still not well, but, you know. It's
my last day
of my medicine, so I'm gonna go get a steroid shot or something. I don't know.
How are you?
Balloon sinuplasty. That's the next best thing, I think. But
how are the two sales ladies doing?
Well, the Filipino, she's getting along, and the other one's just getting started. So I finally got her organized and set up today.
Okay.
And I'm still not real sure about her. I've had my doubts because of a reaction I had out of her today.
She may not work out.
I don't think she is because I was going. I told her to open FreedomSoft, and I told her which leads, and it was a certain color, all the gray ones. And she said, "I don't want to look for the color. I just want to dial the phone." I said, "Listen, if you just give me a minute, I'm going to tell you. You sort it by the gray, and you call all the gray ones. The other girl's doing the purple ones."
Right.
So, you know, I've already getting rebuttal, and she hadn't even friggin' started, so.
It's still a little up in the air. Let's see how she does on the phone.
We'll see.
May not work out.
She's all set up with her own Google Voice and Google email for her, so I can monitor it. And we'll see how she performs. And we got performance spreadsheets.
When is she getting on the phone? It sounds like today's not going to happen. Is she starting tomorrow?
Well, she said today, but I don't know. We've had a big, bad storm here. That's why I wanted to go ahead and go, because I've got the power outage.
Gotcha.
My phone's going to die here in a minute. But
okay.
But
so we'll, hopefully she's on the phone this weekend, and we'll see how what kind of start she gets off to on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, she's got to go get them, but she cut me a little kickback today. I didn't expect, and it kind of took me aback, especially after giving her a second shot, you know.
Right.
She said, "I just want to call numbers." I said, "Where you're going to?" I said, "There's plenty of numbers to call." She said, "Well, some of them aren't any good." And I said, "That's part of the process."
Yep.
So, I mean.
But the good ones are really good.
Yeah.
They most likely have a problem, so. Cool.
Well, she clicked on one that I've got. I'm waiting on the guy to clean it out, so I put it under contract. She said, "Here's one." I said, "Well, I'm working that one." She said, I said, "That one's going to be under contract as soon as the guy cleans the basement out. You know, I'm just waiting on that for him to put under contract." And she said, "Well, I just want to call." I said, "Well, you will." I said, "If you just listen to me for a minute and go in and sort it by a color code, those are the ones you're calling."
Right.
And you go down the list. I said, "There's 93 of them."
Do you have it split up with campaigns, or can she see everything and just going off the colors?
She can do it by colors. I just gave her that one campaign right now just to see how she does.
Okay.
I didn't want to split the campaign up. We're just doing it by colors. So.
Gotcha. Yes.
I didn't want to screw my campaigns up because I'm not very good at keeping it organized. So.
Okay. She probably doesn't go in and call the other gal's leads, but if she does, let's get that separated out so that she can't even see them. So.
Well, yeah, that's.
We'll cross that bridge if we have to.
Yeah, she could go in and change the color, couldn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, your best bet is to have them in separate campaigns where they can't even see the other salesperson's leads.
I need to know how to do that and still keep it organized. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the next few days.
All right.
But other than that, I mean, I did get a contact on one from VA, and I spoke to the guy last night, and
your VA set up an appointment, and you have a contract on it?
No, I don't. That's what I'm getting at. She broke the ice with a guy, and the guy, he needs to sell. It's a house that he lived in 20 years ago, and he had family living in it, renting it to him for $400 and a $750, $800 rental area.
Right.
And they messed it up, and so, but anyway, he owes $30,000 on it, and it probably needs $15,000 in work, so it's probably not going to work out. But I talked to him for a while, and I asked him, but he's really desperate to get rid of the burden.
Yeah.
And I put the bring the money to the table bug in his ear, and so he's thinking about that. So.
Gotcha.
So I mean, it may or may not going to work, but it's still a first breakthrough with somebody making calls for me and setting things up. So.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Is that the first conversation she set up?
Yeah, and she's got about 6 or 8 or 10 that she's following up on.
Holy cow. Awesome.
So,
I'm guessing.
I'm leaning towards the VA person. She's doing, I think she's going to be my best.
She's doing pretty good, yeah. Well, that's what's cool about this other gal. If she works out, great. If she doesn't, you know, let her go, and you still have your VA on the phone. So.
Yeah. Masalama,
I'm guessing that property. I'm guessing that property is a pretty decent sore spot with this guy. He gives family a 50% discount on rent, and they beat the place up for him.
Oh, he's sick.
I bet.
But it wouldn't be a seller finance deal, because if an investor has to pay 30 owe 30 on it, and he's got to put 15 or 20 in it in that area, he's not going to do it. So.
What does it rent for?
You might get about. You could get 8 because it's in a little more decent distressed area.
Yeah.
You know, if you fix it up right, you could probably get 8.
So what does the math look like?
Because it's a 3-2 instead of a 3-1, which a lot of the older ones are.
So.
Yep. Built in 51. So.
70% of 800, 560.
Yeah.
Times 12. 6720 net rents year one, and then divided by, you're saying 30 and 15, divided by 45,000, 14.9% ROI.
That's good.
That's
marginal, but these local guys, man, they're in this area. I'm telling you, they're going to want to be all in at 30.
Yeah.
But I've got some of the hedge fund guys that might pay a little more. So those are the buyers I got to work on with it. So.
Right.
It's a potential. So I'm not letting it go.
Yeah, that doesn't sound terrible.
So if there's this one in just a couple of 3 days, for Colin, so you know, I've got some more in there.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
I'm on the way, man.
This is where your time is well spent. Just get on the phone with the decision maker, put this thing together.
That's right.
Let your VA do all the setup. That's a big deal. So nice job. Stay safe in the storm there.
Yes, sir. We'll check out later.
Okay. Who else? Everybody's in a storm today, apparently.
Yeah, it sure got quiet, didn't it?
Did get a little quiet.
And I got another question for you.
Yeah.
There in San Antonio, I ran across the one guy, no English. We got anybody who speaks English, talk to these people?
Yeah, we do. Spanish, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Send me what you have, and we've got a couple students that are bilingual.
Okay.
Yeah, shoot me an email about it. and I'll reach out to them and say, you know, hey, can you follow up with a lead? For sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike, this is Esther.
Hey,
Mike,
Esther.
This is Esther. Hi, I'm bilingual, so I can help.
Mark, meet Esther.
Hi, Esther.
That was easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, shoot me a reminder email real quick, and that way I can just fire Esther's email over to you.
Okay.
Or number, and you guys can chat. You're both here local, too. So.
Okay.
Good.
Yep, shoot me a reminder and I'll swap. Way to chime
in,
Esther.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, what a cool skill.
hey, when you start looking for salespeople, if you're in an area like that where you've got multiple languages being spoken and you think that would be valuable, you can certainly put that in your Craigslist ad or, you know, Indeed.com, whatever you're looking for, bilingual preferred, you know, English and Spanish or English and whatever. There's no reason you can't look for somebody on the team that can speak two languages.
Right. That's a bonus.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wish I would have paid more attention in 3 years of Spanish in high school. But I didn't. Yeah, what an advantage, no doubt. Good stuff. Who else? Quiet group on a Thursday, huh? Hey, Woody. Woody,
hey,
and then I heard somebody else chime in. I heard Woody first,
okay.
So yeah, go ahead.
I was able to. I put an ad on Craigslist for a bird dog in Cincinnati. So
yep.
I found one good one. You know, he's very enthusiastic, and you know he's hitting the ground. And
yep.
in one day, he found me about 22 properties. You know,
cool.
So. And now I'm trying to set him up on the Freedom Stuff.
Okay.
And every time he sends the email to the address, the address to the email, the lead just get into the notes section of the template, and
yep.
it just get corrupted at all. So it doesn't give me any address, and I could not retrieve that data.
What kind of phone is he using? Android or iPhone?
iPhone.
Okay, it should come in pretty clean. Now, everything is going to go into the notes section. That's how it's going to land, but the address should be in there. I tell you what we can do is I maybe need to log into your FreedomSoft account and see what's coming in. But the address should be attached. The iPhone will also send a picture if you follow the steps on that PDF document. The iPhone works a little bit better with HomeSnap than the Android phones do.
Yeah.
So there may be an adjustment you need to give this person.
Okay.
I'd be happy to look into it with you tomorrow.
Okay.
If you
okay.
want.
Yeah.
I'm not online right now, and I don't want to jump into your account here while we're on office hours, but I'd be happy to outside of office hours.
Okay. Yeah. When I also tried, I got the same response. You know, when I also tried with my iPhone.
Yep. Yeah. The address should be there.
Okay.
It'll come into
tomorrow.
The notes. What's that?
When would be a good time tomorrow for us to catch up?
I tell you what, hit me up in the morning, and then we'll just find a time.
Just
send me an email into the coaching email, and I'll grab it, and we'll find a time.
Okay.
I think my day is pretty flexible tomorrow. What's that?
Okay. I can also get your help to set up the template for Rob template.
Which template?
The template Rob used for vacant a workflow, in case you have a vacant property.
Yep. I have to have the tech guys put that in your account. So when you send me an email tomorrow, remind me about it, and I'll get them working on it because they have to do that behind the scenes for us.
Okay, that's one.
That's one's out of my control. I'll have our lead tech do it. Yep.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff. All it takes, guys, I mean, you find a couple bird dogs that really get one that's hungry. I mean, if you have two, they can, you know, a few of you have experienced this, they can just blow up your lead box, your inbox, for sure. But, you know, one person out there hustling, they can easily turn 20 to 30 a day, depending on where you're at. So that's good stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It doesn't take a huge team. It really doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at some point, if they're giving too many leads, you know, I'm gonna have to stop them, you know, because the budget is.
we've had a few do that where they told the bird dogs to chill out. You know, they got them up to 900 or 1,000 leads, and they had to say, hey, let me get caught up on these, and then I'll turn you loose again. So it's good. That's a good place to be, though. No doubt.
That's right.
For sure. Good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Hey, Mike, this is Esther.
Yeah, Esther.
I have a, I don't know what happened to some of my leads. I had 150 with Butch, and now he's only got 120. I don't know what happened to him.
I'll have to snoop around. So, same thing. Shoot me a quick email reminder, because I don't want to forget on all this stuff.
Okay, yeah, because I've even gotten
the email's easier.
Yeah,
the email helps me over jotting this down.
Find him out. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've got to be in there somewhere. You know, FreedomSoft doesn't just delete leads, so they'll we'll find them. Yeah, shoot me a quick message on it. Yep.
You bet. Thank you.
The case of the missing leads. I'm writing a book.
Mike, Olivia again.
Hey, Olivia.
Hey, you know, made two offers today.
Nice.
One was from a vacant, and it was a management company, and I did all my math and was ready to put something down. We only talked a few minutes. He goes, well, if I knew how much you're going to offer, I could figure things out. I said, well, you know, I figured things out, and I was going to offer, I'm offering 18.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we can't take less than 30. And I said, I'll tell you everything it needs. So I'm going to see what happens, you know. It's been vacant since January, but we'll see, you know. And then I don't know if he's flexible or not. And then that gal that, she won't call me, this gal Michelle. So I was supposed to call her and talk to her, but she won't. So I just put in a lowball offer today on the email, kind of counterintuitive.
Why won't she call you?
I don't know.
Who is she?
I called her.
What if you text her?
Will she
reply to a text?
Perhaps. Oh, no, I'm not even sure I have the right number for her. That's why we started the email stuff. I switched over to email to try and get a hold of her.
Okay.
So, no, I know the preferred method is to talk. And
it
I
is.
Left her information twice.
You're gonna run across people with quirks from time to time. It's just part of it, right? Make enough calls.
Yeah.
So who knows? Yeah. You know, don't spend a ton of time on it, obviously.
No.
If this other gentleman says he can't take below 30, it is perfectly okay to say, you know, I can pay 18 for it. So, you know, if you change your mind, let me know. And then just leave it like you could, and honestly, you could care less if they accept it or not. And that really, you know, it puts the ball in your court. You know, deals are really hard to come by in Denver, but I found a lot for sale the other day. And so I called the agent and I said, hey, here's what I can pay for it. And, you know, she said the seller told me no. And I was like, that's fine. You know, I'm interested at this price. So if he changes his mind, let me know. And away you go.
Good.
So be it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It's,
that's a good way
any,
to do.
Any kind of sales. At the end of the day, this is sales, right? And I know some of you swore, I'm not going to be a salesperson, yada, yada, yada. Nothing happens without something getting sold in business. And it's just the way it is. And so sales is always about numbers. You know, we want to drive good leads so that we can get on the phone, talk to as many sellers as possible, make as many offers as possible. Obviously, they're not all going to get accepted, but a certain percentage will. And those are the deals that you start to put together. So it's just a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
So one of Rob's advantages, and I've been working with him for well over 5 years now, but he just keeps emotion out of it.
Yep.
He doesn't get fired up about a deal. He doesn't, right? He just, the numbers drive what he does. Now, for him, it's pretty easy. It's a little more natural. He, you know, he's an engineer by trade. He gravitates towards the numbers and that kind of thing. But he just lets the numbers dictate what happens. He makes the offer, and he moves on to the next one. And they say yes or they say no or they counter or whatever. And he just doesn't care either way. He's never, this is why you want to be busy. This is why you want to have an abundance of leads, because it takes the scarcity. It takes the scarcity. People can hear it in your voice. You have everything riding on one deal, whether you say it or not. They can hear it. They can hear the stress or the pressure or whatever it is, right? Because even when we're on the phone, people are picking up our nonverbal cues. And so when you have a ton of leads, it puts your mind at ease. Like, if this person doesn't accept, I've got 300 more to call. So what? I'll just keep on trucking. And so it really, you know, part of generating a lot of leads is really just it creates that abundance mindset when you're on the phone and just kind of relaxes the whole situation from your end. And that's a good place to be from. Here's my offer, take it or leave it, and move on to the next one. So, yeah, good stuff, Olivia. It just, I love that you're making offers on a consistent basis, which is exactly what you should be doing. So, great job.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Who else? Questions and updates, right? You're going to hear us say it over and over and over again. The number, right, there are a handful of things, KPIs, key performance indicators, that you want to track in your business, right? The weekly updates that happen on Friday, so tomorrow, right? A lot of important stuff to track. There's not a ton of it, but with every business, there are a handful, typically, of things that you want to track. The number one KPI that stands above all others is number of offers made. I mean, at the end, if you want to boil down, what's the difference between Rob's business and somebody that's just getting started? You boil it down to the most basic form. Rob has salespeople that are making more offers. Or if you want to compare, you know, where your business is at to where his is at. Everything else that he does is around getting salespeople, you know, phone numbers and leads to call to make offers. That's why we generate vacants, because we have, right, there's the highest likelihood that the owner of the property is in some sort of distress because the house is vacant. Vacant real estate, we know for certain, vacant real estate costs money. It costs money. Unless you want code violations from the city, you have to take care of the grass or the weeds, or at least keep them at a certain height. Property taxes are due in every state on an annual basis, right? Vacant real estate costs money, period. There's money going the wrong direction that everybody wants it to go. So we're playing the numbers, but at the end of the day, the goal is to make offers. Just make more offers. And that, you know, that's what Rob has done for almost two decades now. He just makes a ton of offers. Not him personally anymore, but a lot of offers are being made on his behalf. So, you know, whether you're making them like Olivia is, or you've got, you know, somebody on the phone, it doesn't matter. How many offers did your business make this week? And if you're at zero, I can tell you what the results are. I mean, it's just, there's nothing rocket science about it. That's what we're moving towards. More offers. Who else?
Hey, Mike, Rob.
What's happening?
Oh, just got back from California for a week, but
how was it?
Bought a house yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm getting one under contract tomorrow.
You gonna wholesale these or flip them, fix them up?
I'm gonna buy and hold one and fix one up.
Cool.
Of course, this is from my regular line of business, so. The one I'm actually getting under contract is from another wholesaler. The other one's from an auction site.
Gotcha.
But I did place an ad when I got back on Tuesday for a lead manager or / inside sales. So I got 10. I've got four resumes from Indeed.com and then four resumes from Craigslist.
Nice.
So I will be connecting with them tomorrow.
That's the piece. Obviously, we've been having this conversation, and now that you're back from Cali, that's the piece for you to go next level.
Yeah.
You don't need to be busier. You can't be busier, really. How many do you still have under construction?
The one tomorrow, if I get it, well, not yet. I will have it on your contract. We have 8 right now.
Yeah. I think the most flips I was ever running with was 6 or 7. That's plenty of work right there just in that. So
yeah.
Obviously getting a leads manager and salesperson, key. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting the kind of resumes I'm getting. I'm getting, holy cow, these guys have a lot of experience. So I talked to Mike Page just before we got on, and
Yeah.
Depending on the person I hire, with the stuff I have and with the stuff he's trying to keep up with, I just might go ahead and hire someone full time.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking 20 hours a week, but
real estate will attract
you.
Talent.
With all the other stuff I'm doing, you know, making offers on the MLS and auction sites a little bit easier, but I'm making about 5 to 6 offers every morning. So,
right. Yeah, I mean,
you know what you said before is absolutely true.
Eventually, you'll get that outsourced, so you get up and don't worry about offers being made, but you know that 5 or 6 are being made today from the online
stuff.
So,
that's what I'm up to.
We're going to get you out of the weeds and get you up above the business.
Yeah.
And then you can just start, you know, making sure all the pieces connect and controlling the different pieces. But that's, you know, obviously, you know, where the time freedom and the leverage comes in. And then, you're going to see your business go way beyond where you and your wife could ever take it. And it's not because you're not talented and you guys don't know what you're doing. You do. But we're all limited by time. There's only so much 1, 2, 3 people can do. And so you start putting leverage in play, and that's where the exponential growth starts to kick in. So good stuff. Let's not create jobs. Let's create businesses. Those are two very, very different things.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do every morning is think about how I'm working on my business rather than inside my business. And I'm really coming to the conclusion that I need eventually a lead manager and a sales guy.
Absolutely. That
at
is
the very
so
least.
The transition is underway, Rob, which is exciting. And that's how you know that the transition has started, because you don't get up in the morning and work in the business all day. There's some time carved out, right? You're in the transition period, obviously, but you're starting to dedicate time to working on the business. And that's where Rob sits now, right? He's got a lot of different things going, but his time is spent on how do the pieces connect, how do they communicate with each other, you know, where does it make sense, where are the holes, what can get better or more efficient, what can we add in, and that's where you're starting to go. And that's these are exciting times. It's good stuff. That is good stuff. Who else?
That's all I had.
Yeah, good update, Rob. You know what? I mean, it seems like at the surface level, hey, somebody comes in with an update. Hey, I got a deal under contract. That's right. That's awesome. Never going to downplay it. But even the notch above that is Rob checking in and saying, I'm starting to spend time working on my business, right? So if you're not in the middle of deals yet, we want to get you in the middle of deals. But really quickly thereafter, we've got to have the conversation about I'm starting to dedicate 30 minutes of my day, an hour of my day, 2 hours of my day to working on the business and not in the business. And, you know, Rob, as your team starts to grow, you're going to be working on the business and you're going to have other people working in the business, and efficiency is going to start to really kick in. So good stuff. Good stuff. Who else?
Mike Riley with a question, Mike.
Yes, sir.
As I'm listening to these guys, I'm just curious. I know you're not attorneys, and I'm not asking for legal advice, but if you could tell me what type of entity the majority of people are doing their flips in when they actually have them and are working on them. Are they LLCs or are they S-Corps?
My experience from talking to investors for since 2008, the majority of investors buy in LLCs from the conversations I've had. Majority in LLCs. Now, it always, right, not attorneys clearly, but what I can tell you is what I've come across. Rob buys in LLCs that are under a corporate heading, like a corporate umbrella. But he's got a lot of other pieces, right? The software company, the information marketing and publishing company. So it's not – I've been asked that question quite a few times, like, what does Rob's business structure look like? And I can tell you it's just not necessarily relevant.
because he's under Colorado law. What he did, and this is what you all should do eventually, right, is go to your tax advisor, maybe an attorney, and say, here's what I'm doing. You know, what's the best way to structure this thing for safety, for tax purposes, liability, all that kind of stuff. But that's been my experience, that the majority of investors are buying in LLCs. So I know a couple that set up an LLC for every deal. I've heard of that structure before. Even when wholesaling, you can sell, right? You've heard about selling trusts or selling LLCs or just, you know, they've been coached through their tax advisor, hey, let's do it this way. I just set up one entity years ago and have bought and sold out of that. But again, I went to my accountant and said, hey, how do we make this all jive? So does that answer your question? The most common answer I've got are LLCs, but it's not exclusive. Just
okay.
Depends.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I know. There are different rules around the country, and that's kind
there
of
are.
What I've discovered, that there doesn't seem to be a standard answer of any kind. But okay.
Yeah, my buddy Paul, here's another setup. My buddy Paul actually works out of Denver, but his business is all incorporated, I think, in Wyoming because of some favorable corporate laws out of Wyoming. So it even gets to that level where – you know, and that's pretty common in business, but, you know, folks will incorporate or set up shop. Now, you have to have an address there, so he pays for that, but he's got everything set up out of state. So you'll come across just about anything you can imagine. So,
hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Again, they really need to talk to a CPA or an attorney, but my flip business is S-Corp out of Nevada.
Yep. Yep.
And of course,
Nevada
it has
and Wyoming
the address.
Are common.
Yeah, it has the address, and I have a paralegal that handles all my quarterly and yearly reports, but I am set up as a foreign business in New Mexico.
Yep.
And my real estate brokerage is an LLC. But you said it right. I mean, you can't take what anybody else is doing. You have to tell an accountant or attorney or both
you
of
do.
Them what you're doing, and
you
they'll
do.
Tell you what's best for you.
Yep, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And, yeah, that's funny that on the heels of – I was talking about my buddy Paul here in town. It's really common. The two most common – well, the most common out-of-state place I've heard to incorporate and set up shop is Nevada. The second most common I've heard is Wyoming. So
yeah, like, they
and then some people do it in Delaware.
Yep. Sometimes fix and flip investors, side note, they'll incorporate out of state because if a subcontractor wants to lien the property, they have to go through a certain process. And if you want to make that really challenging on them, incorporate halfway across the country and say, that's great, lien my property. First of all, good luck finding me. And secondly, you're going to have to fly wherever to even make it happen. So sometimes it's done for those reasons on the fix and flip side. But
asset protection is an important piece of the puzzle.
It's a really important piece. Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, get with your professionals. It's, you know, you're going to pay them to set it up, but it's money well spent. I mean, you know, nobody in this group is working real estate as a hobby, right? Everybody here is committed and serious. So when that's the case, you know, when Rob goes into a new market, he always meets a local attorney on the ground, right? He's got somebody. He doesn't keep him on retainer, not on retainer, but he's got somebody that if he needs to call up and say, hey, I need an hour of your time, and he'll gladly pay for it because that hour is infinitely times cheaper than doing something wrong and finding yourself in a lawsuit. So.
Absolutely. Does he use a particular process to select that attorney, by the way?
He usually just referral. He'll talk to the other investors in town, say, hey, who's a good real estate attorney around here that knows, that understands what investors do?
Okay.
So real estate clubs, you know, other legit established wholesalers in the area, oftentimes they'll be able to give you a referral on who to talk to.
Okay.
Same exact way we find a title company when we go to a new market. hey, experienced investors in the area, who's the investor-friendly title company in town? Fantastic. Who's your favorite closer over there? Perfect. Do you have her number? Do you have his number?
Okay.
And then call that person.
Good advice. Thank you.
Hey, other investors in town. I'm looking for a GC that I can trust. I'm gonna be buying properties down here, fixing them up, and selling them turnkey. Do you have a general contractor you trust?
Mm-hmm.
Great. What's the name? What's the number? Start there. Every time.
All right.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, this is Esther.
Yes. Hi.
I have a question about creating folders in the different groups.
Okay.
My VA has created folders in the groups under her campaign, but whatever she creates ends up being in the other, in my other bird dog.
That group. Sounds interesting.
So why does that happen? Why can't she create a folder in, like in her group where she's at, create her folders? Because she's my bird dog, but she's also doing my VA stuff.
Yeah, you'd have to.
She's done her stuff there, but then when she goes and she does the research for the other bird dog, there she's got duplicate folders in her group and on his site as well. And
I'd have to go in and look at it, Esther. Can you spell out quick in an email what that looks like in the campaigns and where they're at for me?
Okay.
That's the only way I'll be able to tell you. Try and figure it out. I'll just have to log in. Yep.
All right. Yeah, because she's tried trashing it out, but when she does it out of one, it affects the other side too. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to go in and look.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'll have to take a peek. I'm happy to do that though.
Okay.
Yep. What else? I love it. A little bit of technical questions today, some deal questions today, some team building.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
If no one has anything else, I'm going to, I'm in the process of actually doing one of the things that Rob said in our last smaller mastermind thing about actually setting up network meetings to get investors to come to a meetup or even a local thing once a month.
Yep.
So I'm actually teaming up with a guy. So within hopefully 30 days, if not 60 days, I'm going to start my own meetup group. So,
that is considered highest and best use of time. Yeah, cool.
Well, I need to find more private lenders, so that's the way I'm going to, more investors and private lenders. So more than one person has told me, well, then you need to start getting up there, build your brand, and start meetings.
Yep.
So I've committed to do that, and I put it out there, so now I'm double committed.
Cool. Yeah, make it happen. There's something magic that happens when you're the person in front of the room, qualified or not qualified. The good thing about your meetup, Rob, is you're qualified. But
yeah,
people in front of the room immediately have respect. And people want to they want to be a part, they want to join forces with the person in front of the room. It's just human nature. So, cool. Good stuff. And then you got the email about next week, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Who else? Any other questions? All right. Good updates, everybody. Strong, as always, a lot of good stuff happening, moving forward, making progress. People starting to work on their businesses, which is always exciting. And, any questions? Later on today, tomorrow, whatever, get them into the coaching email. We'll chat again Monday. Have a great afternoon, weekend. And
Hey, I'm a golfer. Some of you know that, but it's the U.S. Open this week. You know, arguably the biggest golf tournament of the year. And here's what's cool about it. I love to watch it, right? I get fired up about it. But here's the thing, and I heard a guy say this from the front of the stage years ago. You know, you go to a football game, obviously out here in Colorado, it's the Denver Broncos, and people will paint their faces, put on costumes, get fired up. Broncos win. They'll be happy for a week. Broncos lose. They get depressed for a week. And, you know, I really like to watch the golf tournament. I get a big kick out of it. But here's the thing. For some reason, we love to watch other people chase their dreams. And we get fired up about it as a society. We get excited, right? People will, you know, like Bronco garages and basements and houses. And how many people have you ever met that are that fired up about their own dreams and chasing their own success, right? And it's kind of sad. You know, just a commentary on society, but we will go way out of our way to watch Rory McIlroy, and we'll get fired up about watching him chase his dream. But then we look in the mirror, and we're like, eh, not really into mine. So it was just I was thinking about it earlier. You know, it's the first day of the U.S. Open, and I enjoy watching it. But can we get fired up about where we're trying to go, right? Can we get as fired up as we do about our favorite sports team or whatever the case? So I just leave you with that today. I'm going to enjoy watching the U.S. Open this weekend and Father's Day and all that good stuff, but I'm not going to get that fired up about it. It's good entertainment. But what matters most is, you know, where am I trying to go? You know, my wife and I with our kids, and, you know, what are the goals and dreams for our family and that kind of thing. And so let's keep that at the forefront, right? Let's get equally as excited about where we're headed and, you know, where you're going with real estate and why real estate. You know, we don't talk about it a whole lot here on office hours, but I sit in a cool place where I get to have private conversations with most, if not all of you. And we get to dig into some of that stuff. What are you after? You know, why real estate? When you have, you know, leveraged income through real estate and a team in place and this thing's kicking, what does that free you up to go doing? So I've got to hear some of those goals and dreams from a few of you. So let's stay fired up about that. You know, golfing fans all over the world are going to be fired up about the U.S. Open, but let's carry that energy over to our own lives and where we're trying to go. So anyway, I leave you with that. You know, thanks for being on today. Make it a great, you know, have a great rest of your day, afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. Have a good weekend. And cool. As always, any questions, bring them into the coaching center. A couple of you are going to send me an email for a reminder that I can follow up on a few things tomorrow. And chat on Monday. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Thanks for your time, Mike.
Good. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks, Mike.
Good message, Mike. Good message.
We'll talk soon. Thanks. Take care.
Night.
Bye-bye.